Open again in your Bibles with me to that first chapter, or the eighth chapter of the first book of Kings. First Kings chapter 8. Our actual scripture reading will be verses 37 through 40. But I'm going to kind of break the pattern that I usually use. Usually I just read through the scripture reading at the very outset. I kind of want to run through a little bit of the chapter getting to our actual scripture reading, because the context is very important to verse 38, where we're going to focus this morning. This eighth chapter of 1 Kings recounts the dedication of the temple and Solomon's prayer at that dedication. And in the first verse, we read that Solomon assembled the elders of Israel that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David. Remember, the Ark had been taken by the Philistines, and the Philistines were plagued, and then it was returned on a cart, but it had not yet come to Jerusalem. It had not come to its resting place in the temple. And we read in verse 6, the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place. It doesn't say unto its place. Because the significance of the ark was not the gold and the cherubims. The significance of the ark was the mercy seat on top.
That's right.
Where God would meet with his people. And so the ark represented the presence of God. It was his place that the ark was brought to. And then in verse 10, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of Jehovah had filled the house of Jehovah. Remember, as the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, and the cloud would rest upon the tabernacle by night, and the pillar of fire by day, and the pillar of fire by night. And they did not journey as long as the cloud rested upon the tabernacle. And what was the significance of that cloud? It was the presence of God with them. Don't you love when they came to the Red Sea and it left from in front of them and went behind them and stood between them and the Philistines, or the Philistines, the Pharaoh and his armies at the Red Sea. And so we continue reading in verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And in this chapter, we have Solomon's glorious prayer of dedication for the temple. Solomon in his prayer will list many of the sins that are common to the people of God, and he will list God's just retribution on the people for their sins. In verse 31, we read, if any man trespass against his neighbor. And in verse 33, when the people of Israel be smitten down before the enemy. And then in verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to the people for an inheritance. And so we see that the establishment of this temple that Solomon has built, and the placement of the ark there where God would meet his people, it was a place of repentance. It was a place that that the people would look to God in their sin and there find mercy. It was a place where they would be restored to him. And then our scripture reading for this morning is verses 37 through 40. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locusts, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made of any man, or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they may live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Let's bow for prayer. O gracious Father, now open our cold, hard, sinful hearts, that we might receive thy truth today. O God, show us every man the plague of our heart. Bless us, your people, we pray, with your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Why did God need a temple? Think about that. Why did God need a temple? He fills the heaven of heavens. And in this prayer, Solomon says, what is the house? Where is the house that I will build for God? Why did God need a temple? God didn't need a temple. His dwelling place is in heaven. He would meet with his people and commune with them from the mercy seat. But God didn't need a house to dwell in, so why is there a temple? What is the purpose? Why is the temple built? You see, the temple was actually built for man, not for God. The temple was the place where man would come with their sacrifice, looking forward to Jesus, the Messiah. The temple was the place when they would look when the pestilence came, when their enemy came in, when they had sinned and rebelled against God, and they were receiving the just judgment of God on their sin, they would look to the temple. They would pray toward this house. And God would hear, and God would forgive. The temple was needed not for God to have a place to live, but rather the temple was needed for man to have a place to repent. For man to have a place to seek God in confession of sin and plead for the mercy of God. And that is why the seat on the top of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. We don't have that ark today. Sure. Some people have said, oh, well, you know, if only archaeology could find the ark. We don't need the ark. We have a mercy seat. Jesus Christ is the mercy seat. Jesus Christ is the one we look to today. We don't pray towards a temple today. And there will be no need in the future to pray towards any earth-built temple. For Christ is our mercy seat. We pray to him. It was a place of worship, a place of holiness, a place of devotion, and a place of sacrifice. Now, the heart of our text today is in verse 38. And let me read to you that verse again. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. Which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. A lot of people are thinking about plague today, aren't they? And we read in the history of great plagues that swept through Europe or swept through the whole earth, and many died. people are thinking about plague today because of, shall we say it, COVID. But here we find the plague of the heart. What is the plague of the heart? Well, first of all, let's take that word plague and consider it. When we think of the word plague, we think of sickness, don't we? Because we have in history the bubonic plague and so on. But this word plague that we find in Scripture, there's actually seven Hebrew or Aramaic words for that are translated plague in English. There are two Greek words that are translated plague in English. This word that we find in Scripture, plague, can refer to an illness, but that's just a minor part of it. The basic meaning of this word plague is a stroke. And I don't mean by that a stroke like someone gets a blood clot and they have what we call a stroke in the brain, but rather a stroke as in whack. It's a lick. It's a lash. It's a judgment. And the basic understanding of this word plague is that it is a divine judgment. Now, God brought 10 plagues upon Egypt. They weren't all sicknesses, but they were all divine judgments meted out by the hand of God upon the people. But what does this word in 1 Kings 8, verse 38 mean? Well, interestingly, I mentioned that there are seven different Hebrew or Aramaic words that are translated plague in our English Bible. In the first nine of the plagues of Egypt, it is a different word than we find here in 1 Kings 8, 38. Of the 10 plagues of Egypt, only the last one, only the death of the firstborn, only the Passover plague, which looked forward to the ultimate judgment upon mankind, which was poured out on Christ. Only that stroke, only that lick, only that lashing uses this same word plague that we have in 1 Kings 8 and verse 38. This is a death plague. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his what? With his stripes, we are healed. Oh, my friend, this plague of the heart that we find in this glorious text, this is far more than COVID. This is far more than water that turns to blood. This is far more than frogs that come out of the river, or cattle dying, or hail, or brimstone. This is the plague of death. This is the plague for which Christ died. This is the plague that took Christ to Calvary. Oh, we need to understand from the very outset what is being spoken of here when we speak of the plague of the heart. Throughout Scripture, leprosy is a type or a picture or a symbol for us of sin. The plague of leprosy is always referred to by this plague, not by the other terms, other six Hebrew Aramaic words for plague. Leprosy is this plague. This is the plague of the heart. It is the plague of the inner man. And of course, when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about that organ within the body that pumps blood. But rather, we're talking about the real man, the unseen person, the eternal soul, which will live forever, that inner man, that true person. It is the plague of the heart. It is the plague of the inner man. For Christ told us in Matthew 15 that out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. This is the plague of the heart. And oh, how terrible are plagues of the body. But how much more the plague of the heart. Jeremiah told us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Before God destroyed the earth of the flood, God saw that the thoughts and the intents of the heart of men were only evil, and that continually. This is the plague of the inner man, the plague of the heart. But how often do we hear the medical profession refer to a certain disease of the body and they say it's a silent killer? What do we mean by a silent killer? Well, that is a disease which may exist in the body for many, many years with no outward manifestations until the body is consumed and dies. He was sick for 20 years and didn't know it. But then suddenly, catastrophe. So is the plague of the heart. How a man can live 100 years without Christ and never know it. How men can go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, taking the plague of the heart in the door and out the door again, and never know it. Jeremiah Burroughs wrote a book called The Danger, I'm not getting the title exactly right, but The Unconverted Ministry is the heart of the title, about the preacher that preaches all his life with the plague of the heart. Unconverted, unsaved, as outwardly godly as you can be, and as inwardly corrupt. Plague of the heart is a silent killer. Look again very closely at our text there in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 38. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his heart. Oh, my friend, this morning, if you know the plague of the heart, hallelujah! For the multitude of men do not know the plague of the heart. And those that would look toward this temple, those that would seek the mercy of God, they were the ones who know the plague of the heart. For the man who does not know the plague of the heart feels himself to be in perfect comfort and in perfect peace, and in perfect safety. And yet he stands on the brink of eternity. He holds on by a thread over the pit of hell. Oh, how blessed are those that know the plague of the heart. It is a silent killer. And it is mercy alone that teaches man the plague of the heart. In Isaiah 44 and verse 18 we read, they have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. Because this plague is a plague of the heart, a plague of the inner man. Drastic measures are needed for its cure. Drastic measures. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Those are rather drastic measures. Those are rather drastic cures. And yet, how can I amputate my heart? What am I to do about this plague of the heart? If it were my eye, I could pluck it out. If it were my hand, I could cut it off. But how do I get this inner man out? Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What remedy is there? What cure can they be? I could cut off my hand and I could pluck out my eye, but I can do nothing about this. It requires a radical cure. Ah, but he will give me a new heart. My God will give me a heart transplant. He'll take away the stony heart out of my flesh and give me a heart of flesh to believe. And so first of all, we consider, what is this plague of the heart? It's a plague of the inner man that kills. But secondly, how did I get it? How did I get this plague? Did I go into a store without a mask and I got a plague? How did it come about? Whence cometh this plague of the heart? It's a congenital disorder. You were born with it. You were born with it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are born in trespasses and in sins. The psalmist David said in Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in rebellion against God, because I am born of the seed of Adam. And Adam bore Seth in his own likeness. Adam was made in the likeness of God, but the likeness of God was marred by sin, was destroyed by sin in Adam. And so when Adam had a child, his child was born with that old, filthy sin nature. Seth was born with the plague of the heart. And I was born with the plague of the heart. And we have precious little, as we call them, innocent children in our midst. And the parents would say they're not innocent. Amen. Because the parents know they were born with the plague of the heart. And from a very, very early age, our children begin to demonstrate the plague. How did I get this disease? I was born with it. But then I added to it all by myself. I was born in sin and corruption, and I fed that sin nature, and I feasted on the iniquities of this world. Chiefest of sinners. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 3 that we were by nature children of wrath. And in Job 15 and verse 14, what is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? We're born with a sin nature. Thirdly, What is the mortality rate of this plague? We hear a lot about mortality rates and infection rates and so on. What's the mortality rate of this one? 100%. 100%. Oh, if only! Oh, if only our world were concerned about this plague! If only our nation were concerned about this plague, yes. You're all going to die.
Yes, that's right.
Go ahead.
Every one of you.
Yes.
Forget about COVID. Who cares?
Yes. Come on.
But what of the plague of the heart? It is 100% fatal. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And what do we say this very word plague means? It is a stroke. It is condemnation. It is judgment for sin. And sinners shall not stand in the judgment. It is 100% fatal. Psalm 89, verse 48, what is man, or what is he that liveth and shall not see death? Ecclesiastes 3, and verse 20, all go to one place, all are of dust, and all turn to dust again. That's all of us. It's everyone. We must all die. Number 4. What are the signs and symptoms of this plague? How does it manifest itself? Well, you could say on the one hand that most of the world walks around and you don't notice it. You know, if everybody has leprosy, nobody notices somebody that has leprosy. If every man in the world was bald, nobody would notice a man that was bald. And I think this plague of the heart is not observed, even though its symptoms and its manifestations are everywhere. It's not observed because everybody has it. And so I'm no worse nor better than any other man. But oh my friend, this plague of the heart manifests itself in every evil. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Ah, my friend, the signs and the symptoms of this disease are all around us. They plague upon the soul of the righteous day after day. And even in the redeemed, they rear up their ugly head again and again. Oh, I must die daily. I must die hourly. I must die every minute. Let him that thinketh that he stand take heed lest he fall. Oh, how quickly the plague of the heart can rear up and its symptoms overwhelm us. For that which is without the heart, for from within the heart, out of the heart of man perceiveth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And we could go on and just keep naming and naming and naming till nighttime and still not have exhausted the list. Every evil. But other signs and symptoms of this disease are even more deceptive. I mentioned already that most are blind to the disease, to the plague of the heart. And that very blindness is one of its symptoms. A deceitful heart, or the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. A deceived heart, Isaiah 44, verse 20. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my hand? The deception of the heart is the very cause of atheism. For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see, this plague of the heart has blinded the atheist mind. I don't believe in COVID. No. There's no such thing. Is that going to protect me? I saw a little thing this week. A guy said, I'm not vaccinated. I'm in the control group. They always have a control group that doesn't take the medication, to make sure the medicine, I'm in the control group. But you can deny something, but that does not eliminate its existence. The world says I can kill my babies because there is no God. The world says I can marry who I want to because there is no God. The world says I can live the way I want to live. I can identify however I want to identify, because I will answer to no one, for there is no God. A predominant symptom of the plague of the heart is spiritual blindness. The plague of the heart will manifest itself ultimately in misery, guilt, and despair. You see, men can put on a pretty good front, and men can put forth to the world how wonderful things are. Have you ever noticed, and hopefully you haven't noticed, but big name comedians in the secular world who commit suicide? The funny guys. What happened? Weren't they happy? They had fame, they had money, and jokes. Weren't they happy? But you see, this plague of the heart will manifest itself in guilt, sorrow, misery. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, the man of the world who has been blinded by this plague, who has been numbed to his sin by this plague, who has declared through this plague that there is no God, and thinks himself to be accomplishing everything, every dream, every ambition that he had. But that silent killer eats in his heart, and it destroys. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? I have sinned and perverted that which is good, and it profiteth me not. Job 33, verse 27. But brethren, I rejoice in our next point. Is there a specialist? Amen. Is there a specialist who deals with the plague of the heart? Hallelujah! There is! There is a specialist. Look again. look again at our context. Start reading in verse 38. And what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. There's a specialist. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of the children of men. He knows my heart. He knows the plague of my heart. Hallelujah. There is a great physician. Hallelujah. There is one who can heal the plague of the heart. And his name is Jesus Christ. The CDC has given us all kinds of confusing information. One day you wear a mask and the next you don't. Get vaccinated and everything's okay. Well, no, not quite. And we won't even talk about Dr. Fauci. The specialist is infallible. The specialist never changes his mind. The specialist never has to come out with new directives. The specialist is not influenced by polls. The specialist is absolutely correct in everything he says. I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, the plague of the heart cannot have you. And remember that we began by saying that this word plague is a plague of chastisement, is a term of chastisement. It's a term of judgment. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And hallelujah, with his stripes, the plague of my heart is healed. I shall not die, but live. Because Jesus Christ is a specialist of the plague of the heart. Because Jesus Christ took the plague on himself for my soul. And he has inoculated me. He has vaccinated me with the blood of Calvary. He has infused his own redeeming blood into my sin-cursed heart and has purged the plague of the heart for my soul. Hallelujah. We have a specialist. And that brings us to our final point. Can we be confident in the cure? Can we be confident in the cure? First they said, if you're vaccinated, you're okay. But then they say, well, you probably have to be vaccinated again in 6 months. Well, if you've had it, you're okay. Well, no, maybe you can get it again. They keep changing back and forth. Hallelujah. The blood of Calvary is once for all. And we can have absolute confidence in the cure. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Once for all, Jesus Christ took upon himself the plague of my heart to my redemption. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come into the plague. Shall not come into the stroke. Shall not come into the judgment. But is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that keepeth my sayings shall not see death. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and life is in his Son. Oh, my friend, we can have absolute confidence in the cure. I'd like to read to you a poem that I came across. It's actually one of John Newton's hymns. I've never heard it sung. I understand there are a few hymn books that include it, but it's not in any hymn book that we have or use. It's called A Sick Soul. Physician of my sin-sick soul, to thee I bring my case. My raging malady control, and heal me by thy grace. Pity the anguish I endure, see how I mourn and pine, for never can I hope a cure from any hand but thine. I would disclose my whole complaint, but where shall I begin? No words of mine can fully paint that worst distemper, sin. It lies not in a single part, but through my frame is spread a burning fever in my heart, a palsy in my head. It makes me deaf and dumb and blind, impotent and lame. It overclouds and fills my minds with folly, fear, and shame. A thousand evil thoughts intrude, tumultuous in my breast, which indispose me for my food and rob me of my rest. Lord, I am sick. Regard my cry and set my spirit free. Say, canst thou let a sinner die who longs to live to thee? Nor let that ransomed sinner die. Oh, my friend, you were born. You were born with the plague of the heart. It is 100% fatal. It will corrupt you from the inside out. But there is a specialist who can cure the plague of the heart, and his cure is certain and sure and eternal. Amen. Have you been cleansed? Have you been healed of the plague of the heart? Let us stand for prayer. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, that Jesus, the physician of the sick, gave his life a ransom for our soul. He shed his blood for many. There is a balm in Gilead. Father, we pray that you today would bless each one within this assembly, Lord, with the cure. May each know the redemption, the removal of that stroke, because our punishment, our judgment was poured out on Christ, that you might give us a new heart, that you might cleanse the plague of the heart from our soul. Bless thy truth to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.